All right, so today we're going to try and do a third interview with CJ Jolliffe. I think things have been going really well, and I'm really excited about having somebody else be able to share with this audience what it means to build an online business and then how to go about it in the proper way so that your website actually embodies who you are and tells your story. And in that vein, today we are talking about story branding and story branding your business as well as your website. CJ goes over a lot of things, some of them that I was aware of, and some of them really, he took a deep dive and kind of went over some things that I wasn't even prepared to hear, to be honest. This is why I love talking to him so much. I'm going to apologize right now. There's a little bit of sound. We did the interview outside at the marketplace here in Bakersfield, and you can hear some motorcycles. You can hear some other people talking. It's basically life just going on around us. So if it bothers you, drop us a comment in the Facebook page on the Grow an Online Business Facebook page. Drop us a comment and say, hey, guys, take it indoors. Like, do your interviews, in private where we can control the sound a little bit better. Or just let us know, hey, we love it. It sounds like we're sitting having coffee with you and just kind of talking business. So anyway, that's what we're going for. So let us know if that's working. And without any further ado, you are listening to Grow an Online Business, where we talk about all the tips, techniques, and advice you need to grow an online business for yourself. So stick around. Today we're talking about story branding. All right. I know it's a little windy, but hopefully the mics don't pick up too much of that. So let's dive in. Today I'm really excited to talk about story branding and branding your story. I think it's huge, and I'll let you really talk more about it, but I think because people, when they're creating an online business, I think a lot of times they fail to realize that a lot of times the only exposure that your online customers have to you and your business, your story, is what they see online.
Right.
And so if you're not putting out three-dimensional content, they're only seeing it in two dimensions. And I think a properly story-branded website that tells your story is, if not as good, but possibly sometimes better than actually having them come into your store and physically talk to you. Because the story you're putting out on your website, whether it be in video format or a combination of all of the different ways you can get your story out there, I think it's a consistent, and you can fine tune it. So you can make sure that what you're saying is what they're seeing, what they're gathering from that story. But how do you, let's just start from the beginning. When you go and talk to somebody new and they say, hey, I'm interested in having you, help me build my story on my, let's say, existing website that's just not performing like it should. Mm. What do you do? What's the first thing you do?
So I have two processes I walk through people through. The first one is typically the first sit down, right?
Okay.
It's a discovery. And I have, five or six pages of questions, with room to answer, it's not solid single
just
line.
All questions. Okay. Yeah. Right.
But let's say it's 40 to 50 questions.
Wow.
And it can be everything from, okay, who do you think your target market is? And that's a loaded question.
Sure.
They know what most of their customers look like, but they may not necessarily know who their target market is.
Right.
And so it's like layers of an onion. You just keep asking questions and asking questions and asking questions. And going into all that, it's really, we're trying to discover what makes them so good. What has made them successful up to this point?
Okay.
Or unique up to this point. And really all of marketing, whether it's story branding or anything, is just about taking that internal reality and making the outside perception match it. Because people inside know that they're awesome. If they didn't, they wouldn't have the drive to keep doing it. Now, don't get me wrong, there are still businesses out there where people hate their jobs and no one wants to be there and all that stuff, but that's not our client. You know, that's not who we work with.
Right, and that's usually not a business that's growing, flourishing, that needs to, maybe is scaling up, moving to online.
Yeah, and you know, I think the third question we ask is, well, is business currently growing, stagnant, or declining?
Okay.
And so that'll give you a kind of a measure of what's, okay, well, if it is declining, then why, you know?
Okay.
And so it's kind of like a going for a checkup, you know, to the doctor. They're going to do everything. They're going to poke and prod, you know, measure and weigh and all the things.
Right.
And just to see, okay, well, are there any red flags? But then the second step is really just asking questions. And I have my generalized format of, I think, about 15 questions that I ask. But then it's just listening and knowing the right follow-up questions to ask. So, and honestly, this is kind of a make or break area, because not everyone has a great story, you know? I mean, I'll be completely honest. And there are times where you're sitting there going, okay. And it happens mostly, I think, with people that are in a Me Too industry.
Okay.
Right? So,
yes.
Like, you can
Why
go,
did you start the business? Because I saw it was, they were working for them, and so I figured Me Too.
Right. So, you know, a really hard industry, I think, to do a story brand in would be like an accounting firm.
Right.
Because it's, you know, now that being said, if there's someone out there that feels like they have a decent enough story and they're an accounting firm, man,
right.
Challenge accepted. Right. I want to be all a part of that.
Absolutely.
Because if there's a thing, well, like, I'm third generation, you know, my grandfather was an accountant, my dad was an accountant, I'm a part of the family business, but here's why, you know. We're
right.
better because we have three generations of accountants here, you know, that I may look at the tax law and say, well, X, Y, or Z, but grandpa looks at it and he's like, you know what? They're not even looking for this. This is why they're doing that. This is what the government's looking for. And
right.
we can kind of, you know, get away with this, but not away. We don't ever do this.
Right, right.
That all of a sudden becomes something.
Becomes a decent story.
Yes.
Right.
You know, so. It's pretty great that I just took my own example that I thought was a really good example and turned it into a way to actually make a story out of it. But
right. So it really is looking at each individual business,
individual.
Each individual
yeah.
owner, business, every story is different.
Yeah.
And pretty much every story can be told mm-hmm. unless it's a carbon copy of another story.
Right. And even then, like, it can be a carbon copy if you show emotion, like if the person is passionate about it.
Right.
You know, I mean, how many people have been stuck in dead-end jobs and hated it and started something? If they did, like, that's a very common thing.
Right.
And if they've done that, they're excited to tell you about it.
Yes.
So your passion,
that's their
your
story.
Enthusiasm
it's not,
comes through.
It's not necessarily, so realistically, it's not necessarily the business that decides the story. It's the person.
I mean, you have to have a good service or a good product. But beyond that, it's like the why that's important. It's the connection. Because, like, go back, you know, thousands of years, we're, you know, sitting around a fire and all we have is our experience and our stories.
Right.
So I think that that's where that connection comes from. That's where a community is built. And that's kind of what you're doing when you're trying to adopt a new customer. You're
okay.
bringing them into the fold.
All right. So the million-dollar question, how do you take that story and present it? How do you... Is there one specific way? Is there a formula? Or is each story so unique that the way it's told has to be equally as unique?
I wanna lean on the last option. I think that in general, okay, let me go with some just basic generalizations. Video is the best way, I would say, to tell your story, to tell a story, period.
Okay.
From there, you can dial it back and say images.
Okay.
And text headings. But I think that it really comes down to the storytelling itself, right? So I've worked with people in the past where I really thought Well, I'll just use an example. It's a recovery, like a rehab type place.
Okay.
And so I was talking with some people that had been through rehab and successfully, and still clean. And I'm thinking like, oh yeah, we can turn this into a 2-minute video, no problem. No. Because the story is, I mean, really is just kind of telling itself. How do you sit there and trim out when you have 12 minutes of an incredible story?
Right.
You know, maybe you shot 25 of a video, but you have a story that's edited down to 12 minutes. Well, what 2 minutes do you pull out of that? And how in the world do you turn that incredible story that's moving and emotional and turn it into something that's 90 seconds long? I just think at a certain point, you can't. And if you do, you do the story a disservice.
Right.
I think that at the end of the day, the story tells itself and it guides. So I'm gonna turn into a total hippie right here. I think the story, for me, just kind of guides me and it edits itself, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. So the story itself presents itself.
Yeah. So this is one of those things where I can't, I don't know until the story is told what the story is going to be, right?
Yeah, you can't necessarily say, I can story brand you in 1 5-minute video with 3 images and some really great headings.
Yeah, I mean, again, like there are...
We can generalize, but yeah, seriously, so it might be 3 videos. It might be all images. It really depends on the story.
So like I do have a format, if that helps, right?
Okay.
So it's introduction and then problem.
Okay.
Resolution, future, and then kind of like a tag or a wrap up or like some kind of punch that leaves, you know, at the end, just kind of a mic drop for nothing else. So an example of that would be like, you know, my name's CJ Jolliffe and I'm an entrepreneur. I have a couple of businesses and I've run and blah, blah, blah. And then going into like that'd be introduction. And then the problem would be, you know, it was a few years ago, I had a marketing agency and, you know, been doing this stuff for a long time, but it just like, I was working 60 to 70 hours a week. I remember days where I was billing, not working, but billing 14 hours a day because I tried to do it on my own. Then I tried to replace myself with other people, but they weren't meeting the quality standards that I had. So problem, right?
Right.
So then solution. So I finally like, I was forced to just kind of throw my hands up in the air. Mm-hmm. And due to this situation, that situation, whatever, I started this new way of doing things. And that new way of doing things is Symphony Systems. And it's, you know, done this for me, this, blah, blah, blah. Future.
Right.
I see, like, Infinity has just given us such a solid foundation. It's predictable. I cannot make any sales for 2 months, and I know exactly what I'm going to make. We don't need new business because we have current business.
Right.
And it just frees up so much of my... thought process, my headspace, where I can create new things. And so future, I don't ever want to grow and be a world-class business like the E-Myth books tell you. I don't care about that. That's not my passion. My passion is startups and creating something small that I can grow to something that's a decent size, but I never want it to be so big that it runs me.
Got it. Okay.
And so that was like, really that last great. Line was the mic drop,
that's
right?
That's the mic drop. That's a really good... That's a really good segue into the next part of what we're going to talk about. So when you're building out your businesses, any and all of the businesses you have, I'm guessing, I know when I was growing up, let me digress a little.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, all of my uncles and my father, like everybody, they owned their own business.
Same.
But looking back, I realized... They didn't own their own business. They owned themselves a job.
Yeah.
Because it was an owner-occupied job.
Yep.
If they weren't there, nothing got done.
Absolutely.
And so I have spent the last 15 years pursuing non-owner-occupied businesses that I'm attempting to get to generate residual, nearly passive, ongoing income.
Yep.
And I know we've talked about that with some different ways of doing it. There's a lot of different ways of doing it. So if you haven't listened to the previous episode,
go back to listen,
where we talk about the subscription-based model, it's a really, really good one. But it sounds to me like that's the same thing you're chasing after.
Absolutely.
You're looking at starting, creating, and getting businesses started and off the ground, but that are not, where you're not required to be there all of the time, where the right. business can kind of run itself with people that are motivated to accomplish the same thing you've set out with yeah. That business mission, and then they can live their passion solving problems, whatever the problem that business that you have solves,
right.
they can do that day after day after day without having to have the oversight of you bearing down on them and trying to push them to make sales or to yeah. make whatever. They can relax and do the job they were hired to do.
Yeah.
I think that should be the goal of everyone out there who's building a business, is to create something that allows themselves and others to perform at their peak without the extra stress of having to perform, I don't know, maybe I'm not wording
it. Well, you don't have to do everything yourself, right?
Right.
You know, and I mean, I'll be really clear, I'm not trying to go out and start a business that, where I have to do all the work. You know, that's kind of pointless. Let's focus on something like, you know, I would show people how to start a web design business, website maintenance and you know, whatever company, because I've done it and I know all the steps and I'm not afraid of competition.
Right.
In fact, I think that, you know, a rising tide raises all ships. So right. like our way of doing it is different. And I'm happy to show someone else how I do that. Like I go down to actual costs, you know, it's going to cost you a little bit to get started, but if you're willing right. to learn stuff and, you know, you can do whatever you put your mind to, right?
Right.
And I think that if you do it the right way, and this is what I'm trying to do. I don't know if I'm doing it the right way. I'm trying. Mm-hmm. But you can do it where it doesn't take up a whole lot of your time.
Okay.
So that's how I'm able to have multiple businesses. My new role in anything that I'm starting is the startup guy, right? I'm right. getting it from ground zero to like from nothing to something.
Right.
And doing it in a way where I really just have to check in and right. running the business, like working on the business, not working in the business. I will take that line from Emeth.
Okay.
Like that's the line. And it's great. And I think Emeth's stuff is amazing. But me personally, I don't want to manage 10 people. I don't want to manage 15 people. I don't want to manage 3 people, really. Like, I want people that can manage themselves.
Right.
But that's because I'm a Myers-Briggs INTP, and
right.
I'm like a reluctant leader.
Right.
Very, very good with doing my own thing,
mm-hmm.
but don't want to micromanage you.
And you believe that everyone else should be as well.
And I feel like everyone else should be as well. So it takes a certain, you know, kind of metal to I think, put up with me.
Right.
But I'm not a micromanager. I just have high expectations.
I have noticed, too, that you're not, while you say, you know, you don't want to manage 3 people, 4 people, whatever, I get that. And I've seen in some of your businesses that you're not afraid to take on partners.
No.
You're not afraid to take an employee.
Not at all.
Afraid to subcontract out. Like, you're willing to fill the position with the proper person, regardless of how it is that person needs to fit that position.
Yeah, because I need to focus on the things that I'm good at. Let me look at the numbers. Let me like focus on growing the business and let someone else do the day-to-day work, right? So if right. I owned a sandwich shop, I would have no business making sandwiches.
Right.
And realistically, I wouldn't have much business in like ordering the bread and the meats and all the stuff. I'm more of the guy that is going to be, okay, who are we reaching? What are our slow times? How can we change our slow times? Is there anything we can do to extend our lunch hour?
Right.
So, and you have to still be in touch with all those things. But I have learned the hard way that if you don't focus on the parts of the business that aren't fun, and for me, the parts of the business that weren't fun were right. like bookkeeping, finances, you know, financials, those kinds of things. If you only focus on the selling, which is fun,
right.
and the creating, which is fun, you have blind spots and something eventually will happen and it will bite you in the ass.
Right.
So I've learned that the hard way. And now I focused on the things that I didn't want to do, the financials, on the bookkeeping, on the growing the business and right. really operating it. And the funny thing is it's completely changed my mindset. I get to be creative in the ways that I do that. So I still get to like use my creative energy somewhere. Okay. One of my favorite things is like problem solving, right?
Yes.
And so that's creativity, you know? I love like staring at the whiteboard and working through any kind of problem, whether it's a messaging problem or a financial issue, or just a resources problem.
Right.
Yeah, I was actually working on one this morning too. I was looking, trying to figure out like the difference between group A and group B and why one was outperforming the other, you know? But
okay. I think every problem has multiple solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And it is fun to work on solutions and not just, well, what's the easiest? Sometimes the hardest solution yields the best results.
Yeah. Well, one thing I found, so this is not really story branding related, but hard conversations are never as hard as you think they're going to be.
Right.
And they are always worth it. Because okay. At the end of the day, you're not going to have that gnawing thing in the back of your head.
Right. I think that actually applies to story branding, because when you said before, when you're talking to the potential client and you're asking them questions, and you gave the example of of an onion and peeling yeah. back the layers. I heard it once, I think it was from 30 Rock a long, long time ago, but basically they said, yeah, it's like peeling back an onion. It's just stinky layer after stinky
there
layer
you go.
Until you're left with your eyes watering. But I think that it applies, because those are the difficult conversations. When you're talking to a business owner who's run a business a certain way for a long, long time, and you're telling them, hey, we need to like boil down your story. Like, why is it you're doing this? To make money. I know, but why? Well, to help people. I know, but why? And you have to keep digging layer after layer after layer, and you dig it down to that final thing to where they're almost uncomfortable telling you.
And the answer is always, I'm afraid to be alone.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you get to that, I think that's where real change happens. And that's where that emotional grab that you're talking about in the videos comes from. Because it's a universal feeling. We all have the same drawing, pulling, gnawing emotions down at our core. And I think when people are real enough to show it, it hits us on a level that makes us almost like beyond loyal to buying their product or service, even when you don't necessarily need it. I can tell you, I've bought products from people because of the people, not the product.
Oh, 100%.
I like product A better than product B, but I buy product B because I like person B better.
Right. So that's actually, you nailed it right there. So I have had a lot of success selling. I would tell you that I'm not a salesperson, but I've had a lot of success selling because I can only sell you on something that I'm passionate about and knowledgeable about.
Right.
And people really, you know, let's say a website. They can get a website from whoever, right? But they bought from me because I think like my passion experience and like they bought from me, right?
Right.
The hard thing in that is it's easy for me anyway to in front of people, right? Like to be me like we're having a conversation right now. It's like so natural, right?
Right.
How do I do that on my website? So then that's where the story brand comes in, right? Like you have to take the natural, like answering questions and getting passionate, getting like riled up and saying stupid things too, just for a laugh, I think.
Right.
That's me. Being me.
Legitimately you.
Taking that and putting that on the website. And I think, you know, this is where things like YouTube really come in handy, because, you know, sure, some people are like, have magnetic personalities, and you meet them once and you're just like, man, that was, yeah.
Right.
Oh, I love that guy. Or man, she's amazing.
Right.
But for the rest of us that may not be that dynamic, I think it's a matter of exposure and time spent with that person.
Right.
So that basically, if you actually, you know, give you a little like pat on the back here, I think you've done a good, really good job about being consistent. And I've watched several of your videos at this point, and even if I didn't know you, I'm like, I'm starting to buy into that, like, okay, kind of part of the community, you know, yeah.
Right.
And like, it is different because I know you, like, right. I know you well enough that we've had a few conversations, you know, that's like, but if I had never met you in person, I would feel like I knew you, and I'm more comfortable buying something from someone I know versus someone I don't.
For sure. Absolutely. So. I 100% agree. And I think, and I apologize for the videos being so raw, because
Dude, it's the content that matters.
I thought about it before, and I started to learn about how to edit videos and how to put all that stuff together. And I thought I needed to really polish it up. But then I thought, that's it's doing a disservice not only to me, but to the people that might want to buy from me. Number one, they'll see me in such a polished place that they'll think to themselves, I can never be there. And number two, what a disappointment when they meet me in person, right? Because they'll be like, oh my God, who are you? You're all over the place. You have weird pauses in your voice. Like, you do all of these things. You talk with your hands. I'd really rather people see that and go, damn, this dude's weird. And then, but I kind of like him. Then I would them like the polished version of me that's not real.
Right. And I think, you know, you can't sit out there. You can't set out to sell 80% of the people out there.
Right.
You can't even set out to sell 20% of the people. Like, find your niche. Find your people. Mm-hmm. Find your tribe. Right?
Right.
And be your kind of weird. And, like, the internet's a big place.
Yeah. There are enough people that are fine.
We're all weird in a weird way, right? Uh-huh. And you're going to attract the people that are weird like you.
Yes.
You know? So, I mean, that's how we met.
My weirdness just won't be weird. It'll be normal. Right. And they're like, no, dude, that dude's normal. Well, I don't know why you keep saying he's weird.
Exactly. The rest of the world's weird.
Yeah. So true. So awesome. It was great talking to you again. I look forward to doing this next time.
Anytime, man.
And, I don't know. Drop us a line. If you haven't said hi, pop into the Facebook group and say hi. And we are also open to talking to you. If you are looking at starting, creating, developing, closing down your business, like whatever it is, if you're looking anything that has to do with an online business, hit us up. We'd love to either answer a question, talk you into or out of something, or just hear your story.
That'd be fun to do like a Q&A. That'd be like...
Yeah, we'll do a live Q&A. How about that, guys? Start, log on, become a, like, subscribe, whatever it is, to the YouTube. No, it's not even YouTube. It's, what is it? Facebook. Join the Facebook group.
Yeah, remember, I got back on. Like, it's a whole big deal.
That's right. We're going to do a live Q&A, and we will answer your questions about how to start, own, operate, run, shut down, an online business, expand it, whatever it is, in the group. So watch for it. We'll start doing them. Maybe we'll do them periodically if there's any level at all of success on the first one. So we'll do that.
Yeah, we expect all four of you subscribers out there.
That's correct. At least all four of you. All right. That is the buzzer, so I got to get going. Okay, thanks.
I hope you liked that interview as much as I did. I had so much fun doing that. In fact, I was so happy to hear that he has volunteered to come on to the Facebook group, the Grow an Online Business Facebook group. He has agreed to come on and do a live Q&A, live question and answer. So get your questions ready. Jump on there and check. We will be doing it soon. I'm going to put a post on there and let you guys know probably at least a few days in advance that we will be jumping on there and going on there live. I'm hoping to do that this Friday. So this Friday being what, today's 6/6/21. So 5 days from now. So I'm not a math person per se, but let's just say six. Well, I don't have a phone. I can't even check a calendar. Yeah, I got on here super prepared. Sorry about that, guys. Anyway, Friday 6/11/12, we will be doing a live Q&A on Facebook, on our Facebook group, Grow an Online Business. So get your questions ready. Have your comments, whatever it is that you want to go over, talk about, chat, whatever, and be ready to hit us up. I think we'll probably do it, let's say 4-ish, like 4:00 Pacific time. So if you are at all available, jump onto the Facebook group and be ready about 4 p.m. Pacific time Friday. All right. Hope to see you guys there. Until then, have a great week and look forward to talking to you again soon.